Good morning, hello and welcome to Taking Care of Business. I'm Jackie Mitchell. There's a lot of conversation and discussion about success out there, but what is it and how do you get it? I was inspired by the success of the Taking Care of Business Masterclass series. You can check out our Facebook page for more information there. And the success of that was the top tips from 1,000 business experts. It was like a speed dating for business. So I thought, okay, if that works, success leaves clues, I believe, then I thought we could do the same for a particular topic. And then I've gone, okay, like success, why don't we use success as a topic? So I went hunting for the success expert. I didn't have to look very far or outside the Taking Care of Business family of superstars. Our guest today has interviewed over 60 experts on what success means to them. He is the host of the Get More Success show. He is a master MC, success speaker and exhibiting expert. He's the voice of God and a key part of our family. You would recognise his voice in all our intros, and you know this name very well. Warwick Merry, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for having me here.
Oh, it's like having you in the studio. You know that. You know that. So today's show is made possible by our successful friends at eView Real Estate. Now, I want to talk to you about your podcast. How long, the Get More Success show, how long have you been doing that for?
So it's about 2 years. I set it up a couple of years ago. I did podcasting many, many years ago and just did a little bit of a one, but it didn't take off, so I sort of let it go. But I started up about 2 years ago. Because there's loads of people in my circle who have had success. And like you said, success leaves clues. I wanted to be able to learn from that and share that with others.
So the first podcast you set up, why don't you think that worked?
It was about 10 years ago that I was doing it. It was before podcasting became sort of big.
Timing.
And it was just timing. And it was hard to get it out there, to get people to listen to it. And it wasn't what it is today. Like, I was doing little 5-minute bursts, and whereas now my episodes are about 20 to 30 minutes. And they're a lot more accessible. There wasn't the podcast app on people's phones. I don't even think we had mobile phones that could play that kind of stuff back then when I first started. Yeah. It was more you had to listen on your computer.
Right. And so you've got the Get More Success show is on iTunes?
Yeah, it's on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the Get More Success website.
So if you go to iTunes, look for Get More Success.
Go to iTunes, Google Get More Success or Warwick Merry as well, and it'll come up.
How do you measure it? How do you know how many people are listening?
That's a very good question. And this is the thing with podcasts, is there's many things that can be measured, but the accuracy of it is interesting. Mm. iTunes don't measure anything. iTunes don't even host it. It's just sort of a portal that you can go to get it. So I actually host it on my website using a bit of software called Blueberry, and it tracks the number of times that it is listened to. And it's challenging because when it first gets released and it's out there, not many people listen to it. But then over time, because you continue to promote it, more and more people listen to it. So there's some episodes that are hugely popular that, you know, thousands of people have listened to, and there's others that tens of people have listened to. Yeah. And that's just how it goes.
Yeah, repetition, repetition, repetition.
Correct.
People think they post something once and then, you know, and they expect fireworks to go off.
Yeah.
There's variety of different stats about how many times you need to put a brand in front of someone's face or some engagement with it, you know, 9 times or 10 times or 12 times. But it's about repetition and leveraging different platforms, because I know that you also leverage social media to,
correct,
to do that. And does that work?
Yeah, definitely. And what will happen is, because Twitter, like so many people are on Twitter, they're on for 5 minutes and then off again. So you've got to hit that all the time. Facebook, I put on every now and again, LinkedIn. And people might listen to one episode and go, oh, I really like that. What else is there? So it's a really good way to start that conversation.
Yeah, I've started listening to more podcasts in the car. So when I'm driving up to Melbourne, which I do several times a week from Mornington Peninsula, an hour and a half in the car each way, it's a perfect time to listen to the podcast in the car.
And a little tip that I do is I listen to it at 1.5 speed because I find otherwise my mind drifts. But by listening to it faster, it keeps my attention.
How do you do that?
On the podcast app, there you can touch, there's a setting to change
is
speed.
There?
Yeah, very much so.
That's a good tip.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've got lots of tips about podcasting.
Yeah. Same with YouTube videos. YouTube videos, you can watch them faster as well. So.
Okay, it doesn't sound like it's, you know, the chipmunk speaking.
No, a little bit, yeah.
I like the description of you on the Get More Success show. It says, he has a laid-back, conversational style, but is not scared of asking some heavy-hitting questions if required. I agree with that. His style makes the show very engaging, fun, and easy to listen to. And I know you and I did one of my favourite shows that we've ever done here on Taking Care of Business in the 4 years that we've been doing this show has been the show you and I did about can you have fun at work or have fun at work? I think that's on your website, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. It is. And in fact, it's on the podcast.
Oh, so, there you go.
Because I'm a big believer in recycling. And so any of the episodes that you've been blessed to join you here, I then put them on my podcast because the information is valuable and I want to get it out there.
Yeah, and that was a good fun show.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about these 60 experts. How do you choose them? How do you get on?
Well, I have a form on the website where people can apply to be on because I don't want just any old person on there because people go, I could go on and try and flog my stuff and sell my stuff.
No, it's got to be
and so there has
good
to be,
content.
There's got to be a quality like because your listeners get used to a certain level. And so some people I know and so I have reached out to them and said, I really like this element of your story. And then some people go, why do you want me on there? I'm not a success. And I'm like, but look at this. Look at this that's happened and look what this has gone on and they're the points I want to highlight. Other people have been on the show saying, oh, I've got a friend who's done da 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 da. And so some of it's referral. There's a good Facebook group called We Are Podcast. And it's you can ask for people on there to go on it as well. But typically it's just people within my network. You know, I have a look at LinkedIn and look at people who've achieved stuff and then put them on.
Yeah, but you've also got the technique and a skill, and it absolutely is, that you will find their story. Mm. Everyone's got a story. A lot of people don't realise they have a story. Mm. And there's a real skill in when you're talking to people and interviewing people about finding their story.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful to get an insight into everyday people. And I don't mean that to sound patronising, but it's people that we can relate to rather than the Oprahs and the Richard Bransons and
Correct. The
ones which is hard to relate to. They're certainly aspirational and inspirational, but it's great to get these everyday people doing some incredible things.
Oh, yeah. And it's like there's many of the people who on the show would themselves not describe themselves as financially successful, yet they have some success in so many different elements of life. And that's what we talk about is like, how do you define... The first question that I always ask everyone is, how do you define success?
Mm.
Because success is such a personal thing. There is no one way to measure it.
Now, that's a lovely segue into what I'm about to say now, because when we spoke about getting ready for today's show and I said to you, is it possible that you could get the top 10 success tips from all the experts that you've done, a similar model that I've done with the masterclass? Because if people are saying the same things, then you've got to listen.
Mm.
And that was difficult for you to do that. Because of that, everyone had their own definition of success.
Yeah. And look, and there's a common theme. There's a lot of people who'd say, oh, success is being able to do what you want when you want and be able to live life based on choice. But there were others who would, you know, they'd have these obscure ancient quotes that they lived their life by and and other people measure it by money and other people measure it by how much they contribute to society. And so it's like it's different for everyone. And that's one of the first things, you know, I talk to people about when they want to have more success in life. The first step is to select it. What is success for you?
Now, we then discussed about a top 10. I was a bit obsessed with this top 10, and it was a countdown. And so I got you to pick 10 of your interviews and some definition of success. So we're going to go through. We're going to have a countdown, down, 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 top 10. So our first one you interviewed was Anna Coates.
Oh, the lovely Anna Coates. Now, she is very educated. She's got a couple of different master's degrees, worked corporate, high, you know, is working for Telstra, Vic Racing and Myob, some big businesses doing big marketing stuff.
Mm.
And it wasn't feeding her soul. And so she decided that she wanted to do something that really spoke to her. So she wanted to become a speech therapist. So she resigned from a job, re-enrolled in university, and she was almost double the age of the other, you know, university students. Spent 4 hard years living on her savings and going back to living as a university student, and now she's qualified, she's through, she's now a speechy, and she loves it. Doesn't earn anywhere near the money she used to, but there's none of the corporate fighting, there's none of this, and the value that she adds to families and what she adds back, she just loves it.
So what's her key to success?
For her, it's taking a risk, you know, be willing to step backwards to go forwards.
Okay, that's really cool. And the next one was Sonia and Sasha. Who are they?
So Sonia and Sasha are these two amazing women who started Australia's Teenage Expo, and they speak to lots of schools. They've actually just put a book out about my teenagers' two lives, something like that. Their whole message was, don't make any mistakes, but have plenty of learning experiences. And it's just about how you reframe it. So that they have done some amazing work and got some really great exposure. And they do the hustle. They are working hard all the time. And it is just about doing the work and have these learning experiences.
Wonderful. So we're down 2 out of 10. We've got 8 more to go. Ooh. I know this is going to be good fun as we count down the top 10 of your success guests on the Get More Success show. We're joined here today by Warwick Merry, and we're talking all about success. We're going to go off piste a little bit and talk about other bits of success. And we hope you're enjoying eavesdropping on this interesting conversation exclusively here on RRPFM. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Taking Care of Business. I am in the studio today with Warwick Merry, and we are talking about how to get more success. And I got Warwick to pick a couple of songs, and that was one of them called Dolphins Cry by Live. Why did you pick that one?
I love the idea of...
Hang on a second, we'll just get you sorted out. We can't hear you. Oh my
God. I'll speak louder. Here we go.
No, I was going to say that would be something no one's ever said to you before.
Well, you can't hear you. Yeah, no, that doesn't get said to me very often at all.
Dolphins Cry, why did you pick that song?
I like the idea of if dolphins cry, how would you tell, right? The teardrops in the water would dissipate and often we're successful, but no one can tell. And it's success is this inner feeling and this inner acknowledgement. So it's an important thing that for us as individuals to be aware of what is our own level of success and to acknowledge that we've done it, because we just don't. And we just continue to push and push and strive without going, wait, look what I've done, you know. Sometimes it's just, I got out of bed and had a cup of coffee, and that's worth celebrating.
Yeah, I like that, your symbolism. I knew there was always going to be a symbol, a reason, a story behind it. It's your, you know, keen strategic thinking. Now, number 3 on our list of the top 10 as we count down to number 10. We've done it. Are they in order, or are they just...
They are in no particular order.
No order. Okay, let's get that. Okay, so number 3, no order.
Yeah.
But of the top 10, it was a short filmmaker called Susan Earle.
The lovely Susan Earle, or as she's known to her friend, Swirl. She is an award-winning filmmaker. Now, she has won awards at the Paris Film Festival, at the Gina Davis's Film Festival that's run over in Arkansas at a little town that I can't... Bereford or something like that. She creates these amazing little short films. The latest one is one called Deep Storage, and it's about a love affair between two socially awkward people, and his mother dies, so he actually lives in his storage unit. And it is beautifully shot and a touching 15-minute story that just really hits the mark. And short films you just don't see. Like, it used to be you'd go to the movies, you see the short film beforehand, but now you rarely see them. And this is a beautifully shot film. And so when she won the award, I got her on to have a bit of a chat to her. She's currently in Germany at the German Film Festival with this film to go try and get another award. So she's thinking about, okay, it's not shown here. Where is it shown? And how can I go and get some awards for it to help then go to the next level?
That's a tough industry.
Very tough industry.
So what's her key tips for success?
So for her, it's really about perspective and looking at it is a really tough industry, and she knows the chances of making a living out of it is really hard. And so she has a job that pays money while she fulfills her passion on the side and does some amazing stuff.
I like the you wrote a little note here, look for the market for people who want. It's almost saying... invent stuff or deliver products and services that people want, not what you want.
Correct.
You know, to actually figure out that there's a market out there before you.
One of my, and it's not on this list, but one of my very successful podcasts, if I get more success, I had this wonderful guest marketer. Her name's Jackie Mitchell. You might know of her. And she said, "Don't."
I've actually forgotten I was on it. Yeah, that's what I was.
Don't try and create a market. Yes. Look for a need that exists and fill that. Yeah. And that's what she does with her films.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my things all the time, because I still get shocked that people go, oh, I've got this idea, and they want to run it by me, and I go, yeah, great, let's have a talk about it. And where's the gap in the market? What do you mean? There's no, I don't know what you're talking about. Who are your competitors? I don't have any. No one's doing it like I'm doing it. But it's all about you. So you're going to be your only customer. you know, it's very introspective.
Yeah.
It's just because you sort of need that to start.
Oh, you do.
But the planning process, anyway, don't get me started. I'll just knock my soapbox off. Right. Let's get number four on our list of top 10 of success is the Ricky Richards Managing Director. What's Ricky Richards?
Ricky Richards is, you wouldn't know of them, right? They are a wholesaler of industrial fabrics. So if you're thinking blinds, awnings, you know, the service stations where they have, it's like a massive tent.
Yeah.
Like, so they import or have made the materials.
Okay.
So they're an amazing company. I got to know Ron through some work I did for them.
So Ron Gottlieb.
Ron Gottlieb.
Is the managing director of Ricky Richards. His name isn't Ricky Richards. It's the name of the company.
Yeah. Ricky Richards. It's almost a bit Ricky Ricardo, but...
at Noosa, there's a nice restaurant called Ricky Ricardo's.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, did distract me. Go on.
And so one of the things that they do, which is unlike many businesses I've dealt with, is while it is a family business, they treat people who come in like family.
Mm.
And they got to the point where they're like, we need to do something beyond just running a business. And so they've teamed up with the Melanoma Institute of Australia, and they have committed a minimum of $100,000 a year donation to it. And all of their sunproof fabrics, they pay a percentage of sales to the Melanoma Institute as a way of spreading the message about sun safety. And they've had some of their staff have had melanomas and had issues and suffer because of it. And his thing, and what I see, and this I see in so many businesses, is senior people get in their own way. So his message of success was get out of your own way. And so unfortunately, his brother Norm passed away, and Norm was the MD and Ron was more the marketing operations guy. And when that happened, he said, okay, I don't really want to it's not that I want to run the company. It's like I need to step back and let someone else with the better skill set run the company, and I'll be the figurehead and the one who's the driving force behind it, but not actually getting the stuff done. And I'll let other people who've got that skill set do it.
So it's focusing on what's strong.
Correct. Yeah, correct.
As opposed to what's wrong. Now, number five is a name that a lot of business women particularly would have heard of.
Yep.
She seems to appear at a lot of networking and speaks at a lot of networking functions.
Correct.
Natasha Denman.
Yes.
She's the 48-hour author.
The ultimate 48-hour author.
Ultimate.
She's ultimate. Everything's ultimate.
Ultimate.
It's a really interesting story about how she started. And got into, you know, she was, I was going to say recovering from childbirth, but no, she had given birth and wanted to get her figure back and did this fitness stuff. And, you know, she is a machine. She's a dynamo. She works so hard, but it's not work to her. She just loves what she does. And for her, her whole message was have the right team around you. And she does an enormous amount of social media and, as you say, an enormous amount of networking. And it's facilitated by having the right people around her. But the other thing in the conversation, one of the things that she said that I thought was fantastic, and many people don't do it, is she said, you've got to talk people out of being your customer if they're not the right fit.
Yeah.
And it's so true, because otherwise if they become a customer, they won't have a good experience, they're not the right fit. They're going to badmouth you because it's not the right fit.
Yeah.
So it's like it is that be really selective with your customers. And so, you know,
and you're not going to create magic or great work if you're not getting on as two people.
Correct.
You know, so it's a real relationship. And I know that in my past and current work life, if I do work with people that we actually like each other, the quality and the synergistic, the synergy just happens.
Yeah,
you know?
you do
some amazing work, where if you're working with someone that you just don't connect with, it's hard.
There's a barrier before you even start.
Well, that's
right. And there's a lot of the whole concept of, you know you like, you trust you.
Yeah.
And if there's a barrier, just you don't even get across the starting line.
I think there's also a power element to that too, as another level. It's saying to someone, rather than sell, 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 buy, 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 use me, it's saying, you know what, I might not be the best fit for you. And you're actually giving the power back to the other person to make the decision, and they're feeling less pressure to feel forced or they're being sold to, and say, you know what, you've sorted out, no hard feelings. If it's not going to work, it's not going to work. And sometimes that shift can work as well.
And it's a really good perspective to look beyond the money, because there's a lot of people going, no, you just get the money, take the money, sign up anyone who wants to. But it's working beyond that, going, no, my business is more important than just money. It's all about making sure that I've got raving clients, not people who are like, oh, it was okay.
Yes.
And understanding that the long-term game pays off far better than the short-term one.
Yeah, and it is a long-term.
Oh, always game. Is.
The more and more people that are starting businesses now, and it's growing and growing and growing,
yeah.
And you would have seen it as well, people all starting their own business.
Yeah.
But the numbers of the failing of the first year is still extraordinarily high.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, I hear varying views from 70% to 85% fail in the first year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think it goes down to 60% in the second year. Those numbers are terrifying, and I don't understand how people don't take those a bit more seriously. And those that are starting businesses don't really get the business side of it.
And
they think it's rainbow and unicorns, where actually it's really hard work. Oh,
and there's two bits of bad advice that everyone gives. Number one is, if you build it, they will come. That is rubbish. That is absolute falsehood. Do not believe it.
Hear, hear.
And the other one is, if you do something you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Oh, yeah, that's rubbish.
That's rubbish.
Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
It's like, I've got to tell you, I love what I do, and there's still plenty of things that I have to force myself to do because I'm not enjoying it. But I know it's part of doing it. So you've got to, you know, people like, oh, but I've always wanted to, you know, make moose.
Follow your passion, you know, and the money will come.
No.
So that it's the whole passion. That's a whole nother conversation.
Whole other. Let's not ever go there with
but
the
that sort of
stuff.
Annoys me too. But, you know, I get upset when these people, and you don't want to be a downer.
No.
You know, don't want to be a killjoy.
But
you
also
want to
save
them
from wasting their time, effort,
or
money.
Or losing their house, all that sort of thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's really important too. Okay, number six. Dr. Josh Packard.
What's he
a doctor of?
He is an amazing guy. I've got to be honest, I don't know. I have a funny feeling it's a philosophical doctor.
Oh, okay.
He's a senior lecturer in at University of somewhere in Texas. I can't remember.
Oh.
I met him when I was overseas at a conference, and we had a really good conversation. He did this whole research study on why people are leaving the church, and it's called De-Churched, D-E-Churched.
Mm.
And the learnings apply to communities in general. Associations are suffering big time. Rotary has, like, it's really struggling to get people. And that's because some of the lessons that come out of it, and this is really one of the reasons that Facebook groups are growing so huge, is people want to actively belong to your tribe. And you will have seen this on the Taking Care of Business Facebook page. They don't want to just watch it. They want to comment about it. They want to share their experiences. They want to be part of it, not just a watcher. And he found this within the churches, that people don't want to just go to church, have someone up the front, tell them what to do, and then leave.
Mm.
There's this need to be engaged. And customers want this as well. Look at Instagram. Look at the people who have a product and want to be seen using the product and sharing that with the brand itself.
Yeah, well, that's part of neuroscience, is that we do like to hang around with people that are similar to ourselves, which is part of the tribe theory. So there's a whole evidence-based element to how our brain functions, and that we also like faces.
Mm.
So we actually connect with a face. So that's always a good tip from a marketing perspective on social media, to actually put photos of people, put pictures of people's faces.
And I've got to say, for those of you who have a photo of your child as your profile picture, change it back to you.
Yeah.
Because I don't know who your child is, but I know who you are, and that's the person I want to connect to.
That's it. Because you want to do business with people, don't
Correct.
You, and create relationships.
Correct.
Oh, we're all getting brainier from the best in the business world. I'm here with Warwick Merry. We're talking about success. Really good chat. I love having him in the studio, and we'll be right back after this very short break. Welcome back to Taking Care of Business. We are talking about success. And if I killed you when I met you, Warwick Merry, we wouldn't be talking about success right now. But that was a song that you chose from someone called Lloyd Spiegel, who sounds like they're pretty handy on the guitar.
Oh, man, that guy, when he plays, you can barely see his fingers move. It is phenomenal. He's an amazing guy. He's been rated by some as Australia's best guitarist.
So he's Australian?
He's an Australian guy, yeah. And he's currently on tour. He's just released a new album, and he's around promoting his album. He's done a tour. He was in Europe, then Australia. Now he's in Canada, and he's back into Australia. He's an incredibly hardworking muso, and a representative for Clark Cole Guitars, and he's very, very good. He's an amazing guy.
You know how they always make that joke about Margaret Court Arena, but the word arena, that if it was Tina Arena, would it be Tina Arena or Tina Arena Arena?
Mm.
So with Lloyd Spiegel as a venue, it'd be Spiegel Tent, surely.
Well, interestingly, that that track comes from his live album, which was recorded in the Spiegel Tent.
Of course it was.
The Lloyd Spiegel Tent.
See, it's all branding. It's much easier to attach to an existing memory.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
I like that very much. So that song, again, is If I Killed You When I Met You, Lloyd Spiegel.
Yeah.
Do you know where that came from? Like, it's pretty
bizarre. It, right? He's written it, but it's just thinking of the number of people. If I killed you in a match, I'd be out of jail by now. It's sort of like, I know some people jokingly go, oh, it's our 20th wedding anniversary and you get less terms if you go to for killing somebody, But his lyrics have got some amazing references to them and some really good perspectives on it, so...
I imagine. Have you had him on your show, your podcast?
I'm trying. We keep trying to.
Because that'll be interesting.
Yeah, keep trying to get some. Because I've got some questions that I really want to ask him. Because success as a muso in this country is really hard, and streaming, like the streaming music, is just killing artists everywhere because they get no money for it.
I think you'd ask him to write you a song.
There you go. I hope it's not that one.
No, something about success.
There you go. Yeah, there you
get
go.
More success, show something like that. Now let's get back to our top 10. We've got four more to go. Number 7 is a lady by the name of Monique Woodward.
Yes.
Who's she?
She is an architect from Wo Architects. There's a couple of Woodwards and a something else. And so down at St Kilda, it's an amazing, but we're coming to you live from Mornington on the Bay. St Kilda in the other part of the bay, is just a beautiful place. But one of the things they don't have is like an ocean swimming pool. And she's like, this would be a cool thing. And governments are like, we don't have the money. So she's like, we could crowdsource it. And so she's done these amazing designs and getting some crowdfunding going for the initial phase of investigation. What's the impact on the area? Because as Port Melbourne is growing and gentrifying, it could be a very good thing to do. And so she created this whole very, very complex process to make sure they do it right. And she was fantastic in I had a whole conversation with her, fantastic in stakeholder engagement. So she wants to get the government's involved, both state and council, get the neighbours involved so that they could have a say in it as well, because frequently a lot of developments happen and no one thinks about the people who live nearby. Mm-hmm. So making sure that getting stakeholder engagement was a fantastic thing that she's done.
It's interesting. I was at lunch through the week listening to Jeff Kennett speak, and he was talking about having a vision.
Mm.
And he said, you know, it's really important to start with having a vision for whatever project or business you're starting or project you're starting, to have the vision. He said, but there's no point having a vision if no one understands it. So that's back to engagement.
Yeah, it really is.
And it's key. Key to success. Yet I think it's an area that a lot of businesses tend to overlook a little bit.
Big time. And I've always thought that you can be the smartest person in the world, but if you can't communicate it, you might as well not be in the room. So I think that, and this is another one, you know, talking about having the vision, but you've got to be able to communicate it. And it's not just communicate it, it's enroll people in it. And this is what Monique's done really, really well. She's got a lot of people on board going, this could be an amazing thing. How can we help? And it is that finding a way when one doesn't exist, because it's very easy to get knocked back. And it's that, you know, people talk about resilience a lot now. And it is about finding that way and creating that vision that attracts people that say, come on, come with me. And that's true leadership.
Interesting you mentioned resilience. We're doing a show on resilience coming up in the next few months, because it is a bit of a hot topic at the moment. And I thought, when we were growing up, no one talked about it. Is it because the Gen Y and Gen X is a lacking resilience that it's become popular?
I don't think so.
What do you think?
It's very easy to go, oh, kids today, and I'm turning into a grumpy old bugger. So it's the kind of thing I'd say.
Yeah.
And yes, there's a whole lot more helicopter parents and everyone gets dropped at school and, oh, we don't do that. Push bike sales are massively down. People aren't riding push bikes anymore. Part of it's because it's outside exercise. Part of it's because it's not safe and all this sort of stuff. But I think it's just about things, you need more resilience now. There's a lot more challenges. Change happens so quickly.
And it's
not like you get a job and you're in it for 30 years like used to happen.
Yeah.
Now it's like if you're in a job over 3 years, people are like, what are you staying there for so long? So because of the change, you need to be able to adapt. So it's beyond resilience and more to this adaptability and being able to flourish in that kind of environment.
I think it needs repackaging into adaptability or adaption.
Yeah. You know, but, you know, it's like all things. Resilience, you sell them what they want and give them what they need. So people want resilience, but you're actually talking about flexibility and adaptability.
Adaptability.
And resilience is part of that, but not all of that.
Yeah, like our friend Charles Darwin said. Okay, number eight. You spoke to a man called Clayton Oates.
Clayton Oates from QA Business Solutions. Yeah, I went to university with Clayton. So this is you know, where you get, you said before, where do you get your people from? He was the guy I went to uni with and I lost contact with, and he lives at the resort. Can I tell you? He's got this amazing place.
What resort?
He lives up behind Lennox Head, right?
Yeah.
So I have this concept of why go on holidays when you live at the resort. And so early on, before it became super popular, he's got a big property and a tennis court and this, that and the other. And he's an accountant. And you sort of don't look to accountants for success. But he very early on decided, I want to be more than just an accountant. And he actually speaks on the international circuit around accounting and speaks at all these accounting conferences. And his whole concept is, how do I buy back time? And how do I, you know, and so outsourcing is a big part of that. And I know with a lot of my mentoring clients, I'll talk to them about what I want for people is to be able to achieve more by doing less. And Clayton's really mastered that. In that he has a lot of people that do the work while he's busy bringing in the sales, but let someone else do all that sort of grunt work. So, yeah, it's about that leverage.
What did you do at uni?
I did 2 degrees. I did one in accounting and one in IT.
So is that where you met Clayton when you were doing accounting?
Correct.
Okay. And how did you catch up with him again? How did that happen?
So I was going up to, I go to a band camp in January very often called the Summersong Music Camp. And which is held up at Lennox Head. And being the kind of guy that likes to leverage, I reached out to the business groups up there and said, hey, I'm going to be in the area. Do you want a speaker to come along? And someone said yes. And unbeknownst to me, he is a member of that group.
Oh.
And so he turned up with all these photos from university day. So here am I trying to be, oh, I'm a professional.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, here he is at university. And I'm like, oh, that's not the good look
that's
I was after.
That would be nice.
So yeah, so it was good. Him. So we've sort of caught up and then on social media reconnected.
So he's on the speaker circuit now internationally?
Yeah. It's not his primary modality, but he does speak at a lot of the accounting conferences and is very well known and very highly regarded in the accounting bookkeeper arena.
Plate notes. Interesting. Yeah. Okay, we've got two more to go. I'm going to talk one more and then we're going to leave the last one to the end. But I don't know if this is a male or female, this name.
Right.
But I'm going to guess it's a male.
It is, is it? Yes.
Well, I'm sort of pleased because a female with a name like Axe might be a bit scary.
Yes.
Unless, you know, she was a Viking or something.
Well, you never know.
But Axe Rawlinson.
Yes.
Who is he?
So Axe Rawlinson, Axe is not his real name, but he's known as Axe. And he's an adventurer kind of guy. He's climbed Mount Everest and he's climbed lots of mountains and he goes out and does all this sort of stuff.
Is that why? Did he change his name?
He's just known. Like, I don't think he's legally Axe Rawlinson, but everyone refers to him as Axe. To the point now that I've actually forgotten what his real name is because I just call him Axe.
Yeah,
And so he, you know, was doing all these adventures and stuff. And then he got married, had kids, and so I was like, well, I actually don't want to climb big mountains anymore because it's pretty risky. But he loves the idea of human powered, doing something and that is powered by a human. He's a New Zealander. He lives in Singapore. I met him at a conference in Singapore. And so what he's decided to do is go from home to home by human power. So he left Singapore and used a canoe and paddled to Darwin. He then got on a push bike, rode the push bike to Sydney. And he's currently paddling from Sydney home to Auckland. So all under human power. He's got a supply chain set up to help him do that. And he's got sponsors. And it's an amazing setup that he's put together. So, but for him, his concept, as you would think as a push bike rider and as a rower, is all about momentum. and doing that one thing daily that just keeps you going and takes you to the next level. So for him and what he does, because it's pretty daunting, the amount of money he had to raise to fund this was huge. But he's just like, I just have to keep doing one thing daily and that will get me there.
Is that his business? Is that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So as part of doing this adventure in getting the sponsorship, he's also on the speaking circuit. And so that then gives him stories to talk about and that kind of thing. And he's, you know, you check it out on social media, just Google Axe Rawlinson, you'll find him. And some of the photos and stuff that he's put, they look horrific. There's no way you would catch me doing that kind of stuff.
So AXE.
Yes.
As in Axe Rawlinson.
As in Axe Rawlinson.
Okay, that's really interesting. Well, we've got one more left, which we're going to have a chat on the other side of this break. We are listening smarter, not harder, on Taking Care of Business right here on RRPFM. We'll be right back after this. We are lightening the way here on Taking Care of Business. I'm joined by Warwick Merry, and Warwick chose that song called Shine by Heidi McDermott.
Well, actually, the song was arranged. The soloist is Heidi McDermott.
Yeah.
The song, the backing was performed by Melbourne Singers of Gospel, which are a fantastic choir that sing out of South Melbourne. And Tony Backhouse did the arrangement and conducted it. Tony Backhouse is based in New Zealand, travels the world, and is known for his depth of knowledge on gospel music. Takes tours to America, and they go to all these African American gospel churches and really go deep into it. It's fantastic, and that's just such a beautiful song.
Why did you pick that one?
Because Heidi is an amazing singer. I've known Heidi for quite. As a matter of that band camp we were talking about. That's where I met her, and she is an amazing singer and has done some great things. And part of it is I used to be a member of Melbourne Singers of Gospel. That was recorded before I was part of it. And so sometimes the success you achieve is a group thing. Like, you don't actually achieve it alone. And I still sing in a choir to this day, and it is an amazing thing. And again, the research shows how good singing in a group is for you and how it's very rewarding and relieves stress and is good for your physical health as well. So doing things in a group to get success is often just as powerful as doing it on your own.
Yeah, it's good for your brain health. You've always been a big fan, I suppose, or music's always been a big part of who you are.
Big time.
Were you attracted to music as a kid? How did that happen?
It's really funny. My parents were so non-musical. Like, they didn't play any instruments. We barely owned records. Like, they'd put on the Bachelor Boys. Just think of, like, four Irishmen wearing big thick cardigans singing weird songs, Kenny Rogers and Charlie Pride, and that was sort of the music that they had for many, many years. And it wasn't until Ripper 76. I think that was one of my first albums.
I remember the album.
There you
cover.
Go, Ripper 76.
It was 76. The jeans.
The torn jeans. Yeah, yeah.
And then the bum was the bum sticking out.
Yep. And so those compilation albums, and then at school a few guys introduced me to more music, and I've just really enjoyed it. I dabble on multiple musical instruments. I don't really play any with efficiency. But music has always been a huge part of my life. I have music playing a lot. It's a good mood alterer. So when I'm feeling flat, I know what music to put on that really lifts me up. It sets the scene. If I've got a dinner party, there's certain music I like to play. And now that I've been around it, is I have all these friends who play music. So I like to play their music because there's a connection to it. And I am so proud going, oh, yes, this is my friend Shelley playing this song. And this is, you know, I know Lloyd. And, you know, so it's fantastic.
Well, that's why I asked you to provide some music. So I know it's really important to you, but I know that there was always going to be a story behind the music. So thank you for sharing those three obscure songs. The last song that's coming out is my pick. It's Bruno Mars, because you always laugh at my music choices. But I do like something uplifting, so we're going to finish off the show with a bit of Bruno.
Fantastic.
But I just wanted to touch base a bit more on Warwick Merry. Your definition of success, what is it?
I like the idea of being able to do what you want to do and enjoy that process. So while money isn't – I don't measure success with money. In this day and age, you need access to some money to help sort of fund that lifestyle. And over the years, it's created a real challenge in me, because I am more creative, and there was a stage that I wanted to become a radio DJ and because I love the sound of my own voice. But the money in it wasn't that good, and so I thought, well, I'll stay in IT, and that's where the money was, but then I was a tortured soul and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So it really is about being present. So I like the concept of be where your hands are and enjoy the company that you're with.
that's a nice expression. Mm. Be where your hands
be
are.
Be where your hands are.
Now, speaking of nice expressions or quotes, so that's a Warwick Merry quote.
Yes.
Would you say that's an exclusive
Warwick? No, I would definitely not say that.
Oh, what, did you steal it from somewhere
else? Yes, I did.
Do you remember where?
No, I don't know. I don't know what it was from, but it's be where your hands are is a great way to stay focused.
Well, Woody Allen said 80% of success is showing up.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Oh, like, and it's so true. You know, I reckon you could even crank that to 90%. Because there's a lot of people who say, yeah, I'm going to do that, and never do. Versus people who give it a crack, fail, but give it a crack anyway. And sometimes you can be successful in failing.
Well, we haven't talked about failure. And every time we talk about success, failure sort of has to be part of that conversation.
Oh, for sure.
And I was looking at something Bill Gates wrote, which I quite liked as well. So I wrote some quotes that I liked. Success is a lousy teacher, he said. It seduces smart people into thinking they can't lose.
Mm.
That's insightful, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Because if you're always successful, and there are some people always successful, so they don't know the struggles. And sometimes it's the struggle that makes it worthwhile. Think about the overseas holiday that you've had. The one where everything went really well, typically are not as memorable as the one where you got unwell, you had to get a doctor, they spoke a different language, and there's a whole story to it. And as long as you got out of it safely, it is far more memorable and it's far better to talk about versus, oh, yeah, we went overseas, it was really good.
Mm, yeah. Well, Winston Churchill's one of my favourite I don't know what the word would be, quoters?
Orators?
Quotarian? I don't know.
But
He of the quote, yes. I quite like that. He said success is stumbling from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm. And I loved that word enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And you and I have had this discussion very often that, you know, you have a day and you sort of feel like you're working your guts out and you're stumbling around and you're getting knocked back or things just aren't working. And you go to bed and you wake up the next morning, you sort of dust yourself off and get back into it.
Mm.
But that you need to maintain that enthusiasm, don't you? I think that's really important. And another good one I had was Aristotle. You can't get past that one. Now, you'll like this one. The secret to success is to know something nobody else knows.
Really?
Yes, that's Aristotle.
Right.
So what do you think you know that no one else knows?
Oh, it's. I really can't answer that one. I've never thought myself of knowing obscure things.
Well, no, you can't answer that because if you answered it...
Oh, yeah, you'd know and I wouldn't be a success.
Exactly.
See, you were trying to suck that bit of success out of me, weren't you?
I was. Yeah, it didn't work. I like a professional brain picker.
That's it.
Now, number 10 on the list.
Yes.
This one's really interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm glad this is sort of we're finishing off on this one. It's incredibly unique.
It is.
It's very niche-y, and I love a niche, you know, because it's really difficult now to find that gap and find that point of difference, but it's beyond the point of difference. And now it's really looking at the unusual.
It is.
To get some attention. Now, his name is Wayne Thompson.
Yes.
Tell us about Wayne.
So Wayne...
Wayne's World.
Party time. Excellent.
Yeah.
So with niches... People have often said, oh, yes, you go an inch wide and a mile deep and get a niche is great and blah, 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 blah. And it's challenging to get a niche and it's risky and it's whatever. But this is a niche. Like, he designs fonts. He works at the Australian Type Foundry. And
so, hang on, let's just say that slowly. Font, F-O-N-T, which is letters.
Letters, yeah, right. And okay. So when you're working on a document and you go, oh, well, I want this to be Times New Roman, that's the font. And it has the serifs, and I hate serifs, and that's a side thing.
Yeah.
And then Arial is sans serif, which is French for no serifs.
Mm.
And so he creates fonts. Now, you will have seen his work. I guarantee it. So every time you see the yes bubble for Optus with the word yes in it, he created that font. Some of the Holden big billboards, he's created those fonts. And if you think about it, some of these fonts become the brand. Look at the Coca-Cola font. These fonts are really important. He's just created a font for the ABC. So Australia's national broadcaster, he has created a font that they use that represents their brand. So all their fonts on the TV and on their website, etc., he's created that. So this is a niche. And one of the challenges he said was that it's really hard to have a mentor in an industry where there's no one else in the country.
Mm.
And there is, and if there's two or three in the country, that's a lot. And they're most likely your competitor. So they're not likely to be your mentor. So he said that's a real challenge. Now, as a creative, what he's done, he lives in Newcastle and they've got a house and the studio's at the house and they're like a 3-minute walk to the beach, and they've created this lifestyle where he can be the creative that he is, because he's also into music, and he and one of his colleagues, Clark, they have a group called Words and Nerds who are very funny, and they perform music and stories. And in fact, Clark's got a show at the Fringe Festival in Melbourne. And so he's created this niche, and there are challenges with doing it. Everyone goes, get a niche, but then this challenge of like, well, who do I turn to for help when there's no one else in the country in this industry? And then it becomes that, okay, well, how do I continue to market myself when I'm the only one there? And so he speaks at different conferences, the different font conferences and typing. So, you know, maybe we need a Taking Care of Business font.
Oh, that'd be awesome. But with these fonts, can I just go back? Yes, Optus, yes, yeah. Please. I would not say no about that. But his fonts, can he sell those to like Microsoft? You know, when you're doing your Microsoft Word and you get to choose your font, or Canva, you get to choose your font. Is that something that he can then?
Yeah, it becomes intellectual property. Now there'll be some that he will sell to, for example, the ABC's font. It'll be the, I'll sell it to you and it's yours. And I don't know the details of his business, but from my conversation, I'm just making a few assumptions. Mm. I would assume that the ABC would say, this is ours and no one else will use it. So it's because it's been custom designed for them. And so therefore it would be charged appropriately. Yet there are other fonts that he has done. And he actually does fonts in hand as well. He has this hand type classes that he does where you go along and he accidentally put his paintbrush into a cup of coffee once. That he was painting some fonts, and so he painted on paper with coffee, and it came out really, really well. And so he now has them painting with sticks and different fluids to create some different fonts, and it's very cool. So check out Australian Type Foundry, Wayne Thompson.
What's his background? Is he an artist?
I don't know. I've got to be honest. I didn't ask too much about that. He would have to be.
Because it's so obscure.
Oh, it really is. And nowadays, because there's stuff that he's done by hand, like with paintbrushes and sticks and whatever else, but also now done digitally, and the very different ways of doing it, but there's a lot of overlap. So, yeah.
Now, you've got some more guests coming up in your Get More Success show.
I do. The joy of having a podcast is in your downtime in other life, you quickly record and edit and get it all up, and so they're all sort of stacked up and ready to go. So there was one, and again, I do the recycling. I was fortunate enough to be on ABC Radio, and so I've been able to use that as an episode. There's some safety people who do consultants to mines worldwide about safety. That's coming up shortly. So there's a whole lot of people who we're getting on the show.
Oh, wonderful. So Get More Success show, you'll find it on iTunes.
Find it on iTunes, or go to getmoresuccess.com is the easiest way to find it. And you can then sign up to iTunes or Stitcher or whatever your preferred listing mode
and if
is.
Anyone wants to know more about Warwick Merry, they just Google Warwick Merry and you're easy.
Sounds good. I'm easy. You've heard it here officially, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. I am easy.
That's why we have him back on this show regularly. Thanks so much for your time coming in today and being very generous with sharing all your knowledge.
Absolute pleasure.
It's always good to have you in here. We hope you've learned something new today and feel inspired with our 24-carat guest, hence the song Bruno Mars. Don't forget, if you're interested in the Taking Care of Business Masterclass, where we've spoken to over 1,000 experts and we're getting 66 top tips, head to the Taking Care of Business Facebook page for more information. We look forward to your company next Friday at 11 a.m. In the meantime, keep taking care of your business and keep being successful.